The NBA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WinBet. Get started today and you'll get a risk-free bet up to $500. Terms and conditions apply. Get the details at WYNNbet.com and download the app today. We're also brought to you by Better Than Vegas. Better Than Vegas is your home for free daily video picks from SGPN. It's like YouTube for sports gambling. Make sure to subscribe to our profile at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV. We're also brought to you by Riffer. Riffer is your home for many podcasts from the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Subscribe to our Riffer channel today at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Riffer. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/RIFFR. What up, D-Gens and NBA fans? Dan Titus here with the NBA Gambling Podcast, hosted by the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. I'm joined by my co-host. You know him as the machine. I know him as the sports nerd, maybe a combination of both. Manaf Manji, what's good, bro? How you feeling today?
Doing well, man. How are you?
I'm good, man. Can't complain. Fresh off a 12-game slate, which was freaking brutal, man. I think I finished 6-6 on the night, but a couple of bad beats. You know, I could have easily gone 8-4, but you know, sometimes that's how it goes. What was your thoughts on yesterday's slate?
On tally side, I think it was a rough day for me. I got to check. I haven't really been keeping up with that, but all the totals that we took yesterday and player props, we had a pretty good night. We went 10-0 in all the picks that we had yesterday. I try to get most of the picks posted there on Twitter, but man, if you're not in the Slack channel, I'm dropping all the picks in there. But you know, it was a great night last night. You know, hopefully we can continue that momentum here for today and then rest of the weekend and for the rest of the season. So just glad to be helping, you know, our fellow D-gens, you know, making money and hurting the books. That's all it's about.
For sure, man. Love that. Yeah. And make sure you're following them. Sports Nerd. Is it
824
on Twitter, man. He's firing off player props all day. As you said, you know, went 10-0 last night, so it was a great night for all of us. Just want to get into the show. We're going to go over tonight's Thursday's 4-game slate, a little bit light, but we'll also get into some other conversations about potential division winners. We're going to talk about the Pacific Division specifically, and then we'll get into some other discussions later on. So we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll hop into the info.
Wynn is bringing you the action of real sports betting with the Wynn Las Vegas experience. Get in on all your favorite teams, players, and sports games. Generous promos, odds, and parlays are happening right now at WynnBET. Get started today, and you'll receive a special offer up to $500 in risk-free sports bets. Terms and conditions apply. Get the details at WYNNbet.com and download the app today.
All right, so Thursday morning, we're recording this episode, and it was just announced by Shams Charania that LaMarcus Aldridge has decided to retire from basketball.
Yeah, and I was just like, right before we like started recording, he put out a little letter, you know, writing on why he retired, and it said he had an irregular heartbeat.
Oh, wow.
In one of the, I think, his last game that he played. So I know he was out for the past couple games, I believe, and, you know, he was getting all that checked up. So, hopefully it's nothing too serious for him, man. LaMarcus Aldridge, he was a Rockets killer when he was with the Portland Trail Blazers, man. A guy that was pretty much almost automatic from, you know, that mid-range jump shot. But, like he said in his little letter here, he said that, you know, family and health comes first for him right now. So wishing, you know, LaMarcus Aldridge, hopefully a speedy recovery, nothing too serious going on with him. And, you know, he's definitely right, man. You got to make sure to get your health right and, you know, family's everything, right? So, you know, it's sad to see him go. I know, you know, he seemed like he was fitting in well with the Brooklyn Nets. But, when you're dealing with a heart condition and irregular heartbeat, that's something very serious. So, you know, once again, LaMarcus Aldridge, wishing the guy a speedy recovery and, you know, hopefully everything works out for him.
Yeah, 100%. And now that I'm seeing these irregular heartbeat tweets now, it's great that they caught it when they did and didn't, you know, potentially risk further injury or damage to his health. And, he had a great career. Mm-hmm. For his career, averaged 19.4 points, 8.2 rebounds, 1.1 blocks and a couple of assists. I mean, dude was a really solid veteran for well over 10 years. And, you know, at age 35, you know, I think he can go out saying that he did his thing.
For sure.
Yeah, just wish him a speedy recovery. And hopefully we hear better news in the coming weeks. But yeah, let's get into today's slate. So the first game we got up, we got the Milwaukee Bucks, currently 34-20, going up against the Atlanta Hawks, 30-25. And the Hawks have been steadily climbing up that Eastern Conference. They're now sitting rightfully at number four. They're going up against a Bucks team that's been 5-5 in their last 10 and 4-6 against the spread. Going up against the Hawks, who have been surging, 7-3 in their last 10 and 7-3 against the spread. Currently, we have Atlanta as 5.5-point dogs in a home matchup. What are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, so I think this is one of the games we're going to have to really, again, you know, Zach and I talked about this yesterday, that you want to make sure to check the injury reports for all these games, you know.
Yeah.
You know, obviously they got the victory yesterday against the T-Wolves in a comfortable win. You know, that defense for the Minnesota Timberwolves is really struggling. So Milwaukee Bucks really took care of that last night. But looking at tonight, I think we're looking at Trae Young as a game-time decision, Gallo a game-time decision, and obviously Giannis also a game-time decision. But, you know, I kind of want to lean with the Hawks here tonight. I think that, you know, they're playing good basketball, like you just mentioned. Hopefully they're able to get Trae Young going tonight. You know, like you said, quietly climbing the Eastern Conference standings. They're competing for that 4-5 spot, currently number one in their division right now. So this might be a if Giannis is not able to go, I think I'll take the Hawks plus the points tonight. But again, one of those games where we want to definitely check the injury report because the line can swing at any moment.
Right. And see, now actually the line's moved just a bit, I guess, from the initial open. It's now the Hawks are 4-point dogs. Okay. But yeah, I think that a lot of this hinges on the availability of the star players. As you said, Giannis is questionable. Trae Young is questionable. A slew of other players. So this is what I'm definitely going to monitor as well.
Yeah.
Really impressed by the way the Atlanta Hawks have played under Nate McMillan. And it seems like, you know, there was the trade rumors of John Collins, and now he's been hurt. Clint Capella's been playing well. He's also battled, you know, he's been in and out of the lineup as well. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Hawks play this one. I too lean on the 4 points for the Hawks.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's also going to be contingent on whether Giannis is in there, because I think he's just the Bucks got an easy one last night. You know, I think that the Timberwolves, they didn't have Karl Anthony Towns and a slew of other players. And frankly, that weird timing of the game, I don't think that bode well for the Timberwolves. So I think they got off easy. So even though they're on the end of the back end of a back-to-back, I don't know if that's really going to have that much of a factor into this one. So we'll see how this pans out. And then for the next game, we got the Golden State Warriors, who are fresh off a convincing W last night, going up against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Currently, we have the Warriors as 7.5-point favorites. The Warriors, I mean, it's really just been Steph Curry. Story of the week, man. And over the last week and a half, man, this guy's been putting up monster numbers. I know you've been playing his player prop overs, and that's just been a consistent hit. I mean, what do you have, 42 through three quarters yesterday?
Yeah, I think he had like 17 at half, and then I had stepped away to just check on something in the house, and then like when I came back, he had like, I think he was like right at 29, and then like in the final like 3 to 4 minutes, he drops like another 10 to 13 points, which cashed easily for us. But yeah, man, like you mentioned, Steph Curry's just playing at a whole nother level right now. You know, I think he really wants to will this team into, you know, the playoffs. But as far as the game tonight, I am leaning with the Cavs here tonight. Just if we kind of take a look at the back-to-back numbers or back-to-back game situations for the Golden State Warriors, 4-8 against the spread with no rest. And then also kind of leaning towards the under. You know, both of these teams are on the back-to-back. So, 4-8 against the spread for the Golden State Warriors. Cleveland Cavaliers on back-to-back situations, 7-5 against the spread. So, you know, obviously Cleveland seems like they're playing a little better on back-to-back nights. But the one thing that does kind of stick out for me in this game is might be the under on back-to-back nights. Golden State Warriors 4-8 to the, or sorry, 8-4 to the under, and then the Cleveland Cavaliers are 9-3 to the under. So combined there, they're going 17-7 to the under in back-to-back situations.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm going to go the other side. I'm going to go with the Warriors here to win in convincing fashion. And they're 6-1 against the spread in their last seven meetings against Cleveland. I feel like Curry, I'm just going to ride Curry, man. Because just looking at his stats, he's been crushing the Eastern Conference this year, averaging 35 points a game, 5.7 rebounds, and 6 assists. And then just recently, you know, over his last three, he's putting up 44 points per game. I mean, that's just ridiculous. Sorry, he was averaging 29. He's averaging 30 points a game against the Eastern Conference, but 44 in his last three games. So, and that's including a 53-point game that he had two games ago. But he's just been unconscious from three-point land. And we know Cleveland's defense isn't that great. They've certainly been covering lately, but I'm gonna lean on the Warriors here. But the Warriors will be without Kelly Oubre, who's still battling a wrist injury. So you'll probably see Kent Bazemore slide into the lineup a bit more. And he's been playing pretty well in his absence. Maybe they'll lean on Andrew Wiggins a little bit more, but we pretty much know what Wiggins is at this point.
Yeah, if you take a look at Kent Bazemore, if he's starting, if Kelly Oubre is indeed out, he's been filling in nicely, especially from, you know, shooting the ball well from three-point line. And I was looking at the player props this morning for Kent Bazemore. You know, my book is down right now, but three three-pointers in two straight games here. Obviously, I know it's a small sample size, but when you're filling in for Kelly Oubre, who's, you know, been in that starting lineup for them, that's going to be something that you want to keep your eye out for. Currently, I saw it was at 1.5 at close to even money. So if I'm able to get down on that over 1.5 for Kent Bazemore, I'll possibly be getting down on that bet for tonight.
I like it. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to get back into the action.
The Sports Gambling Podcast is now on Riffer. Riffer is your home to mini episodes and free picks from the SGPN crew. If you don't have time to listen to an entire episode, Riffer is a perfect quick fix. Make sure to subscribe to the SGPN page by going to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/riffer. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/RIFFR.
Yeah, currently seeing Bazemore's three-point line at 1.5. So, yeah, I'm with you on that. At -113, those are pretty good odds for him to do that. And if he gets the rhythm, he's obviously getting the opportunity against a lower-level team or sub-500 team like the Cavaliers. That shouldn't be a hard measure to obtain.
Yeah, especially when they're going to be focusing on, you know, kind of trying to contain Steph Curry, right? I mean, two straight games of hitting 10 or more three-pointers. I mean, it's unheard of what this guy is doing right now. So, you know, talking through it now, I'm kind of leery of taking the Cavs tonight just because I don't want to get in front of Steph Curry.
Right.
We'll see how, which way I pick this. Right now, I'm still leading with the Cavs, but, you know, my mind may change come closer to game time.
Yeah. Another player that may factor into this as well is Colin Sexton. He didn't play last night.
Right.
Well, with an injury. So if he's in the lineup too, that obviously gives the Cavaliers a little bit more of an offensive boost.
Yeah.
But we did see the return of Jared Allen. Mm-hmm. So it looks like they're getting, and also Kevin Love's been getting a lot of minutes these days, being very productive in limited minutes. But yeah, I think this is going to hinge on if Colin Sexton is in there, you get their full backcourt, maybe they can hang within 7 points. But if he's out, I don't have much faith in them.
Yeah.
And then going to our next game, we got the Boston Celtics going up against the Los Angeles Lakers in Staples Center. Currently, this game's going to be starting at 10 Eastern, so it's going to be a little bit late, but should be a fun one nonetheless. You know, the Lakers are still out, obviously, without their superstars, but they've been managing. We have the Lakers at 34-21 overall, 6-4 in their last 10, 6-4 against the spread as well, going up against a Boston team that's fresh off. Jason Tatum's just been absolutely on fire lately, despite recent news coming out that he's having to take an inhaler before games, which he never had to do before due to COVID, which is just wild, man. Don't really know how this really affects anyone.
Right.
But the Celtics are currently 29-26. already trending. I mean, they were making their playoff push. They were, you know, middle of the pack, really tinkering around that 6-8 range in the playoffs. And now they're certainly making their move for it. 7-3 in their last 10, 5-4-1 against the spread over that span. Machine, how are you betting this one?
You know, you want to stay with the hot hand here with the Boston Celtics, right? I think this is a step. Yeah. This is going to be a big step up in competition of what the Lakers have recently seen. You know, they got the victory over the Charlotte Hornets the other night, but I believe they had Terry Rozier was not playing in that game.
Correct.
And, you know, Garrett Gordon Hayward, we know he's been injured. He's been out for a couple weeks now. You know, obviously LaMelo Ball is not there either. And, you know, how much can you rely on guys like Devontae Graham and PJ Washington, I think, also was out for that game. So an easy victory there for the Lakers, you know, much needed one for them to kind of, you know, stay the course between when AD returns possibly this weekend or early next week, and then LeBron, you know, maybe the week after or another week there. So they're kind of riding the course there. But Boston, I mean, like you just mentioned, Jason Tatum, there's something that he likes playing against the Lakers. You know, they matched up earlier this season. He dropped 30 points in that game. We take a look at Boston's last four victories. They beat a very good defensive team in the New York Knicks, got the W against the Minnesota Timberwolves, and then two big wins against the Western Conference opponents in the Denver Nuggets and the Portland Trailblazers. No, those are two good teams in the West. So I'm going to continue riding this Boston team here tonight, taking the points with them. Laying the points with them, and possibly looking at Jason Tatum's points props for tonight also.
Totally agree. You know, the Boston Celtics are surging right now, winning 6 of their last 7. I don't think that the Lakers have enough firepower to stop them, despite them traveling on the road. Mm-hmm. Boston is 5-2 in their last 7 against the spread. But then also, to your point, I love the way Jason Tatum's been playing as of late. I'm going to take a slight pivot. I'm going to take Jaylen Brown's points tonight.
Okay.
He's currently at 21.5, which I think, I think he could easily go, you know, north of 24 here. So, yeah, I'm going to take Jaylen Brown's points, and you can get that at -115. I think that's the best odds that I'm seeing for it just yet. But I'd also see the market for 22.5 at better odds, almost even odds. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Jaylen Brown. I'm expecting both of them to go off either way. I think the X factor here is Kemba Walker, who played really well against the Charlotte Hornets he played really well in their last game. So it seems like he's already turning the corner as well. And Marcus Smart also getting some significant time. So I think the Boston Celtics are going to be too much for the Lakers when this is all said and done.
Yeah, I think I do want to take the under in this game here tonight. If you take a look over the past 10 games, Boston Celtics number 5 in defensive rating, and the Los Angeles Lakers are the best defensive team over their last 10 games.
Right.
So, you know, and I think the total is indicative of that right now. Right, we're already seeing it at around 212 right now for the total.
Yes, 212.
Okay, so you know. And again, the Lakers have been really good against the point guard position. So if they're going to be shutting down Kemba Walker, I think you're spot on where there might be opportunities for Jaylen Brown to have a good night against the Lakers here tonight. And I think these two teams matched up earlier this season, and Jaylen Brown dropped 28 points in that game. And on the road this season, Jaylen Brown's averaging 24 points. So, you know, I think you're right on the right track. I might just tell you on that one also.
Dope. So then we got, for the last game of the slate, we got the Sacramento Kings going up against the Phoenix Suns in Phoenix. Currently, the total is looking like 234. So we should have a shootout on our hands, which should be fun to watch. But currently, we have the Sacramento Kings laying 12.5 points to the Phoenix Suns. Seems a bit much to me. And the Kings, I mean, this is your guy. De'Aaron Fox has just been absolutely torching Nets lately. But Phoenix Suns have been one of the best teams in the NBA. I see them steadily nipping at the heels of the Utah Jazz for that top spot in the West. What do you think is going to be the outcome of this one? Are you going to trust in the Phoenix Suns to cover that spread, or going to lean on the Kings here?
Yeah, I mean, Phoenix has been playing really well this season. I mean, you know, number one in their division right now. I mean, who would have thought where this team would be, especially with having the Lakers and the Clippers in your division, and for them to be number one right now, it's crazy to me. But I don't think I want to get in front of this the Phoenix Suns right now. They're playing great basketball as well, right? You know, they're trying to probably compete for that number one seed against, you know, going up against Utah was in front of them. I believe these two teams have already matched up this season. Let me take a look here. Yeah, so they matched up way back in early in December. So, I mean, I don't know if we can really take that game and those two games into account. They got one victory. They won by 16 and lost the other game by 3. So, I mean, not much to go off of there. I'm going to stay with Phoenix here tonight. I mean, they're a great home team. But I feel like they have the defensive guys to kind of slow down the Sacramento Kings. Player prop I did like for this game was DeAndre Ayton over the 10.5 rebounds. He's been doing well against, you know, getting boards against the opponents these past couple games. But between the two matchups that DeAndre Ayton faced against the Sacramento Kings, he had an average of, let me see here, 13.5 rebounds. And right now, currently at the market, it was at 10.5. So I will gladly take that over at 10.5 rebounds. I think it may have moved maybe up to 11, but I do like this number up to 11 or 12 for DeAndre Ayton tonight.
Yeah, I'm still seeing 10.5 consistently across the board. So, you know, I'm right with you there. So I think I'm going to tell you on this one, I could see him easily getting 11 or 12. The Sacramento Kings paint is not their strong suit. Rashawn Holmes is playing really well, but, you know, we've seen Hassan Whiteside get more minutes over the last couple of games. We know he's complete liability on defense. So I could see our DeAndre Ayton, cleaning the glass pretty easily in this one.
And I think Holmes is out for this game, correct? He didn't even play last night either.
Correct. Yeah.
So they don't really body inside.
Right. And I think a report I just saw a report come out about DeAndre Ayton and how he's had to kind of curve his game to kind of fit into the system that, you know, that is Chris Paul. And he's had to make sacrifices. And I think he's been catching some heat for maybe he's not scoring as much as he did last season, or he's not being, you know, he's not putting up the monster double doubles that he once did. But it's clear that this guy is still a legitimate center. He could still dominate against inferior opponents. I think this is one of those situations. So, yeah, 10.5 rebounds seems pretty understated for a guy that's averaging close to 11 over the course of the season.
100%.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to get into some Vision Winner conversations.
Better than Vegas, it's like YouTube, but for what DGens only care about, sports betting. We're giving you free daily picks over at Better Than Vegas profile page. Better Than Vegas, it's always running a ton of free contests as well. They got a ton of free picks and handicappers to check out. Make sure to subscribe to our profile so you don't miss a pick. SportsGamblingPodcast.com/BTV. That's SportsGamblingPodcast.com/BTV.
Right, and let's go to switch gears a bit. We're going to talk about the Pacific Division. So probably one of the most competitive divisions in basketball right now. Mm-hmm. The Phoenix Suns and the Clippers and the Lakers are, you know, they're pretty much the only players that are actually that stand a chance in actually winning this division. Right now we have Phoenix at minus 140, the Clippers at minus 110, and then you got the Lakers at plus 9,500. So I like the way that the Clippers have been playing as of late. I just don't know that it's going to be enough considering that they're already starting to prepare for the playoffs in terms of Kawhi Leonard's missed the last three games. We've seen Serge Ibaka has not played over, I think he's missed almost double digit games now.
Mm-hmm.
I think Phoenix is better prepared to finish out the season as the favorite here, but want to get your thoughts.
Yeah. I mean, if we go like, I guess we could just go team by team. We start with the Clippers here. I mean, post All-Star break, the two best teams, at least like straight up win record, has been the LA Clippers and the Phoenix Suns. They're both of these teams are 15-4. So, you know, it almost feels like that nobody's really talking about the Clippers because the focus has been on the Brooklyn Nets. It's been on the Lakers with the injuries that they're dealing with. It's been on, you know, a little bit on the Utah Jazz because they are the number one team in the West right now. And nobody's really talking about this Clippers team. So, with the injuries that they've been kind of dealing with their role players, the play of Paul George, especially, and Kawhi Leonard has kind of been going under the radar, I think. And, you know, for them to be 15-4 here in at the post All-Star break and, you know, 1.5 games behind the Phoenix Suns, do I think there's a chance for them to catch the Phoenix Suns? Absolutely. We kind of take a look at the remaining strength of schedule for these two teams. Phoenix right now still has the fourth hardest schedule remaining in the NBA, while the LA Clippers have the, I think, the fifth easiest schedule remaining. So there's a possibility where the Clippers do kind of catch up to the Phoenix Suns and possibly, you know, try to get that number one, or sorry, get that division here. You know, I guess we can talk about Phoenix next, but as far as this Clippers team, I don't think it's as good as it was last season, but the role players that they do have with Luke Kennard, who's been playing well, and then the acquisition of the Rajon Rondo trade, I think that's going to be big for them in the playoffs. And I think I expect this team to be in the Western Conference Finals against the LA Lakers.
It's an unpopular opinion, man, but I tend to agree with you in terms of, I actually believe in this Clippers team more than I did last year. Like, I know Pandemic P was, you know, really just the topic of conversation of why the Clippers imploded last year. Mm-hmm. But I sense a different, this is a different roster now. And when you go out and you acquire someone like Rajon Rondo, he's like the playoff dude that's going to give you that leadership, basketball IQ, determination, hustle, grind, grit, all that stuff that you need in playoff mode. And I think that this team is built for playoffs. Like, if just watching the way that I've watched the last, you know, before Kawhi got hurt, mm-hmm. the way he picks his spots in the mid range, it's unguardable. Similar to the way Kevin Durant is unguardable. Anytime he has it on the block, he can just turn around and do the one footer like Dirk. But like, Kawhi Leonard has much of the same go-to moves that are just unstoppable. When you have PG on side of you who can attack the rim, but also stretch the floor, mm-hmm. I think this team is going to be extremely dangerous. They're going to be tough to stop. I don't think that the Lakers are going to have, I don't know, there's something about the mystique of the Lakers and not playing together for so long, I think is going to be a hindrance to them in the long run. And I think that the Clippers will have the firepower to at least compete with Phoenix if it comes down to that. Now, will they make it to the Western Conference Finals? We'll see. I think that there's a lot to be said, and obviously, you know, seeding's going to matter. Home court advantage is going to matter to some degree, even though there hasn't really been home court advantage this year. But maybe certain states might be letting some fans in around playoff time just to get that edge. But yeah, man, I don't know that I trust the Utah Jazz. I just don't think that, I think that they're a little bit of ways away from being able to take that next step. However, I think the Clippers, with their veteran leadership and their play as of late in the second half of the season, I think this is where they make their move and really become the true threat to the West.
Yeah, I mean, and then just going back to Paul George, you take a look at his numbers this year compared to last year, right? And I think his field goal percentage is up by a full 4%. You take a look at his three-point percentage, it's up by full 3%. He's averaging about 1.5 more this season. So I think what kind of went on in the bubble for him in the playoffs last year really kind of resonated with him, and I think he's kind of out to prove that he is one of the top, you know, 10, 15 players in this league. And I think he's living up to that right now, just because I don't think he's not averaging 25 to 27 points per game. He doesn't need to do that for a team like the Clippers, where they have so much, like, you have another superstar with Kawhi Leonard and you have surrounding shooters with your team. But I think this is going to be a good playoff run for Paul George, because, you know, I like that narrative of him coming back from a really bad playoffs and playing well in these playoffs. So I think this is, in the Western Conference, at least, and specifically this division, I think the Western Conference winner is going to come out of this division. I don't think it's going to be Utah or any other team that's going to win this conference and go into the NBA Finals.
I agree. We got the Suns at 39-15, the Clippers at 39-18.
It's about a game and a half ahead of them.
Game and a half, yeah.
Yeah.
Game and a half. And so, I mean, the Clippers are only three games out of the top spot at 41-14. So There's going to be some shakeup in this in the top tier of this Western Conference. Don't sleep. I don't think that the Jazz can afford to take any more nights off if they're going to want to hold that top spot.
Yeah, I think quickly for one of the advantages that the Utah Jazz do have is that they have the second easiest schedule remaining so the rest of the season. So, you know, this might be a time for, you know, going forward for us to bet on Utah to kind of, you know, cover the spreads and knowing that they have to kind of get these victories to secure that number one seed. I wanted to get your take on, you know, staying within this division on, you know, going to the Phoenix Suns. What do you think is their ceiling as far as the playoffs? You know, I mean, I think this will be their first time in the playoffs in a very long time. So what do you think is their ceiling with Chris Paul, Devin Booker, Jay Crowder, and DeAndre Ayton?
I think they're built for, I mean, I think that they're easily built for a Western Conference run if they're, you know, assuming Chris Paul can stay healthy. Like, I think we were cheated out of a couple of opportunities with him going down with hamstring injuries in critical moments. You know, I think back to the game 7 where he didn't play or he got hurt when he was with the Houston Rockets. Yeah.
Game 6.
Game 6. He didn't play 7. Game 6. Yeah. Right. And I think they would have won that. They would have won that series, you know. Yeah. And who knows what could have been the legacy after that? So, playoff Chris Paul is a different dog. I think that he could easily take him to. He could take him that far. It's just a matter of like, are we going to see the ascension of Devin Booker, Mikal Bridges? Is DeAndre Ayton ready for that moment? Mm-hmm. That I do call into question a little bit. There, he does have a lot of youth around him that doesn't have a lot of playoff experience. You know, they almost made it in the bubble. They played great in the bubble, but just didn't, you know, get to that next spot. So I think that's my biggest concern is like, is everyone else ready? And it's great that you mentioned Jay Crowder, because I think he was a phenomenal add over this mm-hmm. offseason. I think he's a tremendous defender. He has the playoff experience on several different teams. I just don't know that I would take them against, you know, a battle-tested Clippers squad that I think is primed to get as far as that. I mean, I think that their ceiling is higher than the Clippers, mainly off of the veteran leadership. But I'm not going to sleep on the Suns. I won't be surprised if they get there. I just think that their road might be a little bit tougher with the youth that's on their team.
Yeah, and I think that's what it is for this team, is that because they don't have outside of Crowder and CP3, they don't have much playoff experience with their young guys. And I think the game is completely different in the playoffs because the pressure is heightened and it's a lot more intense in the playoffs. So for the Phoenix Suns, if the playoffs started today, they would be taking on the Dallas Mavericks in the first round. I think that's a series that they could win if the playoffs started today. Then they run into LA Clippers in the second round, where I think they would, you know, have that exit. But I think if Chris Paul is able to stay with this team in the off season, and maybe they add another veteran star or another, you know, player that's a difference maker for them, they could be a team that could be right there again next season as a top 3 seed and then make some more noise in the playoffs next year. But as far as this year, I think a second round exit is what's going to be in the future for the Phoenix Suns for this year.
Yeah, because the other thing I'm trying to think about is the scheming of the Phoenix Suns. And if you send a double at Devin Booker, what's the next best option after that, right? Like, is DeAndre Ayton ready to go off for, like, Embiid, like, 40-20s? No. Yeah. And Chris Paul can certainly will you there, but, like, while he's also playing facilitator, getting people involved, he's more of that clutch fourth quarter guy. So if they go down, I don't know, without Booker giving you 25 to 30, you're still going to have a chance. So I don't know. I think there's going to be some strategy in getting into Booker's head, just being that he hasn't been in that mode yet. I just don't know that he's going to be prepared for that playoff mentality quite yet. I think he'll get there, but there's definitely going to be some growing pains here.
For sure. And I think, like, you know, when you get into the playoffs, you need that second or third score. And like you just mentioned, Devin Booker's going to have to go out and get 25 and 30 a night. But after that, you're going to need Ayton, a combination of Ayton and you know, Crowder and Bridges to combine for 35 points a night, you know, between those three guys. We know what CP3 can do in the playoffs and in the regular season. He's going to get his, but you also always need those role players to really step up in the playoffs to kind of take that pressure off of your superstars and help win games where it matters. But you know, like we said, is the youth of it and their being their first playoff experience, I think the pressure might get to them. But I think this season for the Phoenix Suns and the playoffs is going to be a great learning and stepping stone for them into the future. And if Chris Paul stays with this team, you know, who knows what happens maybe in the span of next year and the season after that, because the window for CP3, I think, is closing.
Yeah, it is. That's a great point. And it's crazy because I actually didn't think he would. I knew he would be good, but I didn't think he would be as this good at this stage in his career. Like, he's been very healthy. I think he admitted to changing his diet and going vegan. Yeah. I think at the beginning of last season, and it's just been great to watch him ascend, much like LeBron James, into their twilight of their careers and not really missing a beat much.
Yeah.
And his winning percentage is crazy in the regular season. What he does for teams is really something that's going to be lauded. You know, well into his Hall of Fame ceremony once he gets to that point. But yeah. Then now that we're still talking this division, the Lakers have the seventh hardest schedule for the remainder of the season. And they play the Jazz twice, Phoenix once, the Suns, Clippers, Nuggets, and Blazers. Dude, I don't know how the Lakers are going to survive this, man. They might find themselves creeping down to that like sixth or seventh seed when this is all said and done.
Yeah, I mean, for the Lakers, it's like, I think this is a team, like one team that it doesn't matter, at least maybe in their minds, where they end up as a seed in the playoffs, right? Because yeah. When you're getting two superstar players like a LeBron James and an Anthony Davis back on your squad who, yeah, they're dealing with injuries, but they also especially Anthony Davis, who's missed a lot of games. So the fatigue factor versus like some of these other teams that they're dealing with right now is not going to be there for them. So they might have, you know, fresh legs going into the playoffs between their two superstars. I think right now, if they ended up as the fifth seed where they are right now, they would take on the Denver Nuggets in the first round, where I think they would take care of business. And then you get to the second round where you would play the Utah Jazz. And then I think that's another team that they can take care of business about. All of a sudden, the Lakers are back in the Western Conference Finals against the Clippers or the Phoenix Suns or whoever, you know, might be. But it's kind of scary to think about when these two guys are back, right? When you have your front court's going to be Andre Drummond, Anthony Davis, and LeBron James. The rebounding advantage that this team is going to have and limiting other teams to not having second chance points and second possessions, I think it's going to be absolutely big. The one player that I do want to keep an eye on for this team, especially in the playoffs when LeBron and Anthony Davis are back, is going to be Dennis Schroeder and what he kind of contributes to this team in the playoffs. Because if he's a guy that we know that can go out and get 15 to 17 points a night, all of a sudden that takes a lot of pressure off of LeBron to perform in the playoffs and carry the team along with Anthony Davis. So as far as for this remaining of the season, I think it's getting your guys back healthy, Anthony Davis, LeBron James, and some of the other injuries that they've been dealing with. And then just, you know, once you're in the playoffs and you have a guy like Anthony Davis, LeBron James, Andre Drummond, then it's game on for the Lakers, because I think it's going to be very, very hard for any team to beat the Lakers in a seven-game series.
I feel that. You're right. I mean, that's where the star power – I mean, this is why they're resting. And I think it's a good sign that LeBron is traveling and so is AD.
Yeah.
I think that they're probably getting into some little bit of practice. I think that they'll be fine once it comes to that playoff mode. And you're right. As long as they get to the dance, I think that they like their odd. They're the champions right now. No one wants to see LeBron in the playoffs, especially AD. You know, I think AD is going to be the biggest question mark, because I'm mm-hmm. just wondering what the significance of that injury really is.
Yeah.
Hopefully he avoided something significant like a Kevin Durant, where, you know, the calf strain became an Achilles tear later on. But mm-hmm. I think that they've been pretty – I guess the difference in the scenario is they weren't trying to rush a guy back in the NBA Finals, whereas, like, he's had a pretty substantial amount of time to rehab and take the proper precautions to come back when he's ready. So And just as the insurance, even if you get LeBron back from a high ankle sprain, you still have Andre Drummond to anchor that center position. Now, while he isn't the great defensive presence of AD, he's still something that's better than what you had in Marc Gasol, who was only getting like 20 minutes a night. Yeah. Still playing really well defensively, but I think he's at this stage in his career, he's more of just that backup center off the bench. Yeah. But you're right. I'm excited to see what they look like at full strength with Dennis Schroeder. You know, I think that this is going to be a room for it. Are we going to see the growth of Kyle Kuzma? Mm-hmm. He's been holding it down so far for the Lakers. But
yeah,
you can't count them out once the playoffs start. I just wonder how healthy are they really going to be. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch. But I'm still a believer in the Clippers, man. I don't know what it is. I'm a Clippers guy.
Yeah, and I mean, nobody's really talking about, like we said, there. Nobody's really talking about the Clippers. And I mean, we take a look at that for the Western Conference winner, the Lakers are still the odds-on favorite, slightly favored above the LA Clippers to win the Western Conference and get into the NBA playoffs. I'm sorry, NBA Finals. You know, for me, I think it's simple. It just comes down to those two teams. I think it's going to be the Lakers or the Clippers that get into the NBA Finals. The question for me also for the Clippers is if this team doesn't get to the Western Conference Finals or they don't have a good playoff run. I know that Kawhi Leonard is coming up on free agency. Does he stay with this team or you know, does he go to a team like Miami where they have the cap space to get a guy like that and pair him with Jimmy Butler? So I think for the Lakers or for the Clippers' future, this is going to be a very, very important playoff run for them.
Yeah, this is an absolutely pivotal moment for the Lakers or for the Clippers, excuse me. The opt-out criteria for Kawhi Leonard is certainly going to be a factor if they don't make it to at least the finals, I feel like, because 2 years of potentially falling under expectations is not going to be, I don't think that's going to bode well for the prospects of them trying to re him up once again when he's got several suitors. I mean, he can go wherever he wants pretty much at this point. One interesting thing of note, since Andre Drummond's been acquired by the Lakers over has gone they've gone over in three of their last four games. So I don't know if that's a testament to how bad Drummond is at defense, but I think it'll be a lot better when you can kind of hide his empty stats around AD and LeBron. So, but you know, overall, the Lakers are still they're still a top three defense, no matter how you assess it. So. They'll be fine.
Yeah, you want to get to the Warriors here real quick?
No, you got it.
Okay. Obviously, right now they're kind of sitting in the Western Conference. They're a game out of the eighth seed behind the Memphis Grizzlies, right? And I think Steph Curry is really trying to will this team to get into the playoffs with his recent play. Obviously, you know, they don't have Klay Thompson this season. I don't think he'll be returning this season. But you know, if they get into the playoffs, the interesting question for me is, do you think they have a chance against the Utah Jazz as a one seed?
No.
I
as good as Steph Curry is, there's just too many question marks in their front court to me to actually be a playoff contender. Mm-hmm. James Wiseman, you know, whether that, I think it's diagnosed as a torn meniscus. Mm-hmm. He's probably not going to play this season again. And then you have Kevon Looney, who, while is a serviceable backup center, I just don't have any faith in him getting any more than 30 minutes. So that means that they're going to have to play extremely small. And I just, even behind Kevon Looney, you got like Eric Paschal, you got Juan Toscano-Anderson. There's not a lot of hope there. So you're preying on Steph Curry to literally drop 40. Even like stand a chance, because like Draymond Green, while he's very effective as a screener and facilitator, he's not a threat to score the basketball. If Kelly Oubre is hurt, you know, hopefully it's not a serious injury, but the wrist injury has kept him out a couple games. Mm-hmm. If he's not there, that they're losing another defensive threat, somebody that can attack the rim and gives another option, scoring option for Steph Curry. We already know that you can't win off the strength of Wiggins. So if this is going to be Curry and Wiggins coming at you, give me every other team other than that. I think it's going to be great for his legacy. The fact that he willed a team pretty much on his own to the playoffs. given what's at stake. But yeah, I think that the Bucks going to stop as if they get in there. They're not going to go very far.
Yeah, I just think that if they did get into the playoffs and they matched up against Utah, I think Rudy Gobert would just like have like 20 rebounds a night
again
in that playoff series. And like you just said, they don't have that interior presence. But I think the bigger question for the Warriors is going to be is the offseason on what's going to happen, right? You have Klay Thompson just coming off probably the two worst injuries that you can suffer as a basketball player with the ACL and the Achilles. So, you know, how effective is he going to be? A lot of question mark for this team then. I mean, do they go out and acquire another all-star player? Do they have the capability of doing that? Yeah, they do. I think they have the capital for it. And who wouldn't want to come play with Curry and Klay Thompson, right? Because of the success they've had playing together in the past where they won, you know, multiple titles, and they had the regular season where they won 73 games and broke the record for regular season win. So it's going to be an interesting offseason for them. You know, I don't think Andrew Wiggins or you know, Kelly Oubre is going to be part of their future. I think if they can trade those guys away, free up some cap space and you know, either acquire another star via trade or free agency is going to be the question for this team. But I think next season, Golden State Warriors are going to be right back in the fold of things, you know, competing for a top four seed in the Western Conference next year.
Yeah, I think that this is the free agency that a lot of people have been waiting for. And, you know, I think we saw some teams hold certain players close to the vest. You know, maybe they couldn't get the capital that they wanted. So either they're going to let them walk or they're going to keep them as restricted free agents and possibly get a pick and some other assets out of them. But
yeah,
you're right. I just wonder if the window is closing for the Warriors to keep. I mean, Steph Curry is going to forever be a Warrior. Like, I don't think he's going to leave. I think he's one of those Dame Dollar type guys where like he doesn't have to go anywhere else. Like I could probably see maybe in the twilight of his career, maybe going back to Charlotte just to, you know, make it interesting. That's where he grew up. It's where his dad played for a majority of his career. But, you know, while he's still in his prime, I don't see him leaving Golden State. The good thing about Klay Thompson is he was an elite two-way player. And even if he doesn't return to the two-way side of it, we still know that he can shoot lights out. And he may have lost. He never really was that athletic of a player anyway. Like, he wasn't the guy that's going to cross you over, take you to the hoop, and bang it on you.
Yeah.
He was just really good at catch and shoot. And if he could still have that type of a role for them, I still think that they could be effective. One of the players that I think is having the most regression, though, is Draymond Green. I think we've seen our best days of Draymond Green. Mm-hmm. And it's like he hasn't really gotten better. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think his ceiling has already kind of eclipsed itself. Defensively, he's still a beast, still disruptive. Facilitation wise, he's solid. But like, I think that they need someone bigger. They need a front court presence. And I think drafting Wiseman was the right move. He's still extremely young, so we can't say that he's a bust yet. Like, it's way too early to say anything like that. Injuries are unfortunate. He didn't really play much at Memphis. The guy pretty much had 2 years off, right? So I think that they have a foundation, a core to build around. But they do need to be active in the free agency market. They're probably not going to hold on to Kelly Oubre. He's likely going to be gone.
Right.
I don't know what you do about Wiggins. He's one of those guys. This is like dead weight on your team. Like, he's played really well. When Steph Curry was on the court, Wiggins actually played really well.
Yeah.
But the Warriors also showed as one of the worst teams in the NBA. So I think that that's a stigma that's just going to carry Wiggins. He's not a winner. And so he doesn't play winning basketball. So how do you rid yourself of that contract and that player? I think that's going to be one of those things they might just have to eat. I know that they thought that they could do this rehabilitation or this, you know, reinvention of Andrew Wiggins experiment. I think we could say it's probably hasn't really met with the success that they intended, but I think this team, they have the pieces to make moves. It's just a matter of how many moves are they going to make. But one thing's for sure, I don't see Steph Curry leaving, which is great. That always gives them somewhat of a chance, right? It's just a matter of how well will Klay get back into the mix coming off of two serious injuries? Mm-hmm. Where does Draymond go from here? And can you acquire any pieces by giving up any assets that maybe you just continue to build around Klay and Steph and, you know, and maybe Wiseman at that point?
Yeah, I mean, I think they need to like just trade away like Wiggins to one of these like teams that never compete for like a playoff spot and just let him go like collect his paycheck and just up his 20, 25 shots a night and just collect the paycheck. 100%. But yeah, you're right.
Into the Rockets.
No, we don't want him. No, we do have some. We have some pieces that we can build around for the future. I mean, you know,
y'all got plenty of cap space, man. Go get you some Wiggins.
No, we can send him to like San Antonio or something. Send him over there. We'll talk about the Rockets like in the off season when you know I'm kind of excited for what this team can build around if they get a good first or second pick, but. I mean, Golden State, I think they'll be back next season. And then, you know, like you said, it'll be interesting to off season for them via trade or free agency. And, you know, we can just kind of pick that up in the off season with the Golden State Warriors. Joining us as Sacramento, last team. And then,
last team. We'll take it home with the Sacramento Kings. So the Kings, they invested a lot in De'Aaron Fox, and rightfully so. The kid's bona fide star, all star in the making. I think he's going to be the future. I love their draft pick in Tyrese Halliburton. He's going to be another really valuable pick. I've been touting him as like a poor man's Malcolm Brogdon. I could easily see him ascending into that in terms of just his style of play, his IQ, and what he can do for the team. Rashawn Holmes has actually kind of come into his own as like a legitimate center in this league. He was averaging one of the highest field goal percentages this season in the first half of the season. I have to check to see if he's still doing that, but still a very solid player. But I think that they're going to have quite a few decisions to make in the offseason. What do you do with Buddy Hield? What do you do with Harrison Barnes? I think that they're probably going to be gone one way or another. But they have, to me, I think you have a solid core of a backcourt in Halliburton and Fox. It's just how do you build beyond that? Because they already got rid of Bogdanovich, trade him off to Atlanta. So it seems like they have the assets of their what they want to build around. It's just like, how do you build out everything else? So I think that that's going to be much of their focus. And they're heading the right direction. I think they did the right thing of locking up Fox. But where do you go from here?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head with, like, I think De'Aaron Fox and Halliburton are going to be the future backcourt of this team for a very long time. Outside of those two guys, including your head coach, you got to blow this thing up and start rebuilding around those two guys. I think if they can get Rashawn Holmes back with those two guys at a reasonable contract, then I would re-sign him at that center position. And now you kind of go build around those three guys. I think Harrison Barnes, we heard during the trade deadline that, you know, Boston was interested in kind of getting a guy like that, but they eventually traded for Evan Fournier. There were rumors that, you know, Buddy Hield was on the trade block also. So I think you're right that those two guys will be gone. Again, Marvin Bagley was another guy that we heard that the Kings were trying to trade. So, you know, for the Sacramento Kings, I think Luke Walton will be gone at the end of the season. And then, like I said, you got to build around De'Aaron Fox, who's an absolute stud. I just love watching this guy every single night. Probably the fastest guy in the league. Halliburton, he's been having a great rookie season. He's only going to continue to get better. And then Rashawn Holmes, like you mentioned, one of the underrated centers in the league. You know, hopefully they can re-sign him to a reasonable contract and then, you know, build around those three guys. But guys like Hassan Whiteside, Marvin Bagley, Harrison Barnes, you know, Buddy Hield, it's a fun team to watch. And, you know, but again, if you're trying to win championships or at least for this team, get into the playoffs first.
Yeah,
you're going to have to rebuild around those two guys at the backcourt and then go from there. But again, another team, it's going to be a very interesting offseason for a lot of these teams. And, you know, I think the Sacramento Kings will end up with a top eight, top nine pick. You know, hopefully they can, it's a very deep draft this year. So, you know, hopefully they can pick up a player there, maybe in the front court or you know, make some noise in the NBA draft and then go from there. But not much for the Sacramento Kings team.
Yeah, and just going back to my initial thought. Yeah, so Rashawn Holmes is currently second in the NBA in field goal percentage at 64.1, right behind Rudy Gobert. He's in a contract year, so I think that they should give him the bag. I think he's made a nice home there. I think that they, no pun intended, I think he's found a nice spot there, and he obviously has rapport with Fox and Halliburton. So like, he's a pretty serviceable center. He's not too old. He's 27 years old. This is his first big contract opportunity. you know, I think he's going to have a nice decision to make. I think they're going to offer him some money, and rightfully so. I mean, he's been a pretty solid big for them on the offensive and defensive end of the floor. I mean, he's a career year. I mean, he's averaging 14 points per game and almost how many rebounds? Yeah, close to 9 rebounds a game with a block and an assist. So, or a block and a steal, excuse me. So, very solid. And yeah, you're right. You know, I completely forgot about Marvin Bagley because, you know, even though he was the second pick in the draft, that dude, I think we can call pretty much a bust at this point. He's going to need a new scenario, a new environment to really thrive. And I don't think he was ever really a good fit for Sacramento. It was probably the leadership not using him to the extent that he wanted to be and being a factor of that offense. But yeah, he needs a new home. He needs to get out of there. Buddy Hield has voiced his frustration numerous times. I don't think there's any chance that he wants to stay there anymore. He wants to be a starter. So he'll think he'll get his bag and he'll get his opportunity to do so. I was actually hoping the Sixers could trade for him at the deadline, but clearly they didn't have the draft capital for it. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what the Sacramento Kings do, but I agree with you. This is going to be a deep draft. I love that we're going to see some G League Ignite teams or some G League Ignite players potentially go to the league into the draft. I think there's some really exciting players coming out of that. Or out of that league, as well as some college prospects. So it's going to be fun, man. I think that the Sacramento Kings have a nice opportunity to tool up. But to your point, they need to start at the head coach in the front office first because it's a hot mess right now.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about this with really earlier in the season. I thought that before Lloyd Pierce was going to get fired, I thought it was going to be Luke Walton, but I'm still surprised that he's still with this team. But I think that it'll be at the end of the season where he gets the pink slip.
Yep. All right. Well, that concludes our segment for today. Check us out in the locker room tomorrow with Ryan McKee. Manaf will also be there. And then we'll also continue to make sure you see our Slack channel. We'll be throwing in some more player props and plays and selections throughout the day. Until then, we'll holler at y'all next week. Peace.